Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations with Cynthia Hyatt, professional psychotherapist and relationship expert. In private practice for over 20 years, Cynthia specializes in teaching individuals, groups, and organizations about how to be successful in relationships, how to handle the variety of differences each gender brings, and ultimately, how to be your own best version. With a dynamic and enthusiastic approach, Cynthia helps each person understand how temperament and gender affects every relationship and inspires her audiences to become all God created them to be. With this understanding, she shares practical tools, resources, and wisdom to guide each person to a transformational understanding of themselves and others. You can find Cynthia on the web at CynthiaHyatt.com and on social media under Cynthia Hyatt Inc. for current events, updates, and inspiration during your week. And now, here's Cynthia.
Well, welcome to Conversations with Cynthia. I'm so glad you joined me today, and I'm so excited about who I have on my show today. I've recently been introduced to her, and I'm very thankful that I have. Her name is Dr. Ann Redelfs, and she's the guest today. She is an author and a speaker, and actually she is going to be with Kristen Clark and myself while the three of us do this upcoming webinar on February 28th. So I wanted to make sure that you kind of got introduced to her ahead of time before we have the webinar, because the webinar is going to be quite exciting. And if you listened last week when we talked with Kristen, it really is about changing and renewing your mind and the way you think about how you live your life. And it's you seizing the opportunity to take and respond to this so that you really can have the kind of life that God intended for you to have. So it's that idea of creating a mind style that lets you actually live the lifestyle that God intended for you. And, you know, what you can expect from this event is we're going to have lots of energy and excitement. It's live. It's right in your own home. And you get a fresh perspective on sound biblical teaching. It's got engaging, inspiring dialogue. You get to have online fellowship with the three of us and all the other participants. And you're going to get some great practical information to help you think and live abundantly. And just some concepts for improving your relationship with Christ. And there's even opportunity to win some cool prizes. And everybody walks away with something, so you get handouts and guides to practice what you heard after the event. We also, Ann and myself, are going to give you some discounted offers for some personalized and individual coaching sessions. So I have Ann on the air with me, and I have read part of the book that she has done when it comes to living through horrible disasters, and she lived through the Katrina hurricane when the levees broke, and has written a phenomenal, insightful book called The Awakening Storm. And I have to tell you, she is a very, very brilliant thinker. I really enjoy talking with her. And she got her MD from Tulane University, and she trained both in pediatrics and psychiatric, did both of those residencies. And she really became disgruntled by the excessive use of drugs on the mentally ill. And you know, on this show, we've talked a lot about just mood disorders and trauma and how trauma affects mood disorders. And so what happened was she retired from psychiatry, and now she's studying developmental psychology, which is one of my loves. And you know, all know we've talked a lot about the maturing process and how many times we might be intellectually an adult, but emotionally not an adult, and the effect that that has on our own self-worth, our own self-esteem, and how it affects our relationships. So she really looks at this idea of trauma and the impact of trauma on us as human beings. So, Anne, thank you so much for joining. So say hello to the listeners and just give us a little bit more about you and what you are really inspired to talk about today.
Well, you mentioned your listeners. I call myself a listener. I listen to the deeper messages of self that we're all ever communicating, and I help each person to understand these messages. So I listen not only to the voice, but to body language and disease symptoms. I listen not only to relationship difficulties, but also day-to-day circumstances and reactions. Every aspect of our experience is relaying vital information, but we've been taught not to listen, to ignore it, or to interpret it in an impersonal manner.
I think that's very, very profound because, you know, we have a cultural problem with that now. You know, Americans are kind of known as the happy ones. We just want to be happy. We make light of everything, pretty much. We joke about everything. And we have a very difficult time hearing ourselves, hearing others when it comes to negative feelings. You know, and we have a tendency to think those negative feelings are bad, when actually they're really good information and are telling us some really vital things. So, you know, you and I talked last Friday, and you gave me this great example of one of the incidences of listening, and it was with a man that couldn't lift his arm. So could you share that with our listeners? Would you be willing to share that? Because that was really powerful in terms of what you do.
Yeah, he said that certain body positions cause him great pain, and I said, like what? And he said, for example, if I try to lift my arm above my head. And to me, that was very poignant because he came to realize that reaching for God seemed painful to him. And
wow.
It opened up a huge belief system that he had. And where did it come from? And so it was a great opening and also helping him move forward and becoming closer to God.
And so physically, he was released from that.
Yes.
Which is phenomenal. I mean, it's kind of like I talk to clients daily about listening to their body, that their bodies never lie. You know, our feelings are physical sensations, and they never lie. Our brain, our thoughts, we can lie to ourselves. And we can tell ourselves, you know, we don't feel that, or we don't really care about that, or we shouldn't worry about that. But our bodies don't lie. And learning to listen to our bodies is a huge, huge deal.
Yeah, and understanding that there's so many levels of communication, too. For example, if someone had an accident and so they have a sore leg, for example, yes, they have a legitimate excuse and the doctor can look, do the scans and say exactly what's wrong. But a sore leg, sore also means anger. And what anger is being lodged in the body? And so there's an emotional reason as well. And also these things tend to have symbolism of beliefs that we carry. So there's an intellectual reason as well, and there's a spiritual reason. And to get to each of those levels of causation to work through what's really going on.
So what does a listening session look like? If like your listeners, you know, the listeners we have today would be interested in understanding what that really looks like, what would they experience?
Well, I ask them to focus on whatever's bothering them, whether it's a physical symptom or maybe a relationship problem or a devastating event in their lives, and describe it as fully as possible. And in that, people usually use words that have great meaning. The words themselves will head us in a certain direction. And then we go through the various levels, like I just said, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual. And I also look at what it might be saying about the past, about the present, or a future that we're being directed in, that it's trying to guide us there. Because so many of our problems, they're not just messing us up, for example, messing up our schedule, or it's not what we wanted, but it's also wanting us to develop the skills we need for our God-given purpose.
Hmm. So,
for example, Katrina had me going out and talking to everyone, and I was suddenly going from waiting for people to call me to actively everyone I met, how are you? What can I do to help you?
Wow.
I was much more assertive after that. And so that was a quality I needed, and I got it from my Katrina experience.
Wow.
And
so
I find that all of our difficulties are have that component.
I think it's fascinating because I do a lot of education on the power of words and what words say. And when I'm working with clients, I'm always fascinated by their word choice and why they would pick a certain
yes.
word. And so give it some examples about that or the what you think about that.
Well, let me think. What I just said, let me think, that in itself is showing me. I tend to be, I go to the intellect first. That's my strong suit, my mind. I've spent my most amount of time working there with all my studies. So just how people word what they're saying? Are they using intellectual words like I think and concepts and ideas? Or is it, oh, I was angry and she was sad and tears in their eyes,
right,
using emotional words? Or are they getting into my gut feeling was and real visceral words? You can tell where their strengths are. And in that, you can usher them into the other areas where they're not so comfortable. Because
exactly.
To me, God made us to be all things. And we need to get comfortable with the areas we're not comfortable and share where we're really strong. So in that regard, we all have something to give each other because we all have areas of strength. And we all have areas where we need to receive from one another because we have all areas of weakness. And these are these divine appointments that God arranges for us each day, where we give from our strengths and we receive from our weaknesses, so we all become whole.
That's fine. I think it's really powerful because when we look at the way that Jesus healed people, now that you're saying this, it just caused me to think about this, that, you know, he healed people very differently. Like some of them he healed intellectually by giving them truth.
Yes.
You know, he said to Mary, you know, the woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more. He gave her truth. You know, to some people he spoke to them more emotionally, you know, and then to other people he physically,
yeah,
like the blind men, he used mud and put it on their eyes. And so he was so creative in meeting the person right where their healing needed to be because he was just the perfect listener.
Exactly.
So tell me how...
And for us to develop that same flexibility.
Yes.
To know who needs the physical remedy, who needs the emotional words, who needs some strong intellectual ideas that speak truth at a very deep level.
Because, you know, I know with many of my clients, because primary mode of my practice is cognitive behavioral therapy. So I am very much about the way you think affects the way you feel, affects your body, affects your life, affects your relationships, affects your spirituality. And so one of the things that I work with people is if they, like, are always telling me what they think, I want to redirect them to maybe the shadow side of themselves and say, and I want to know how you're feeling about that. And a lot of times when people start telling me what they're feeling, I will say to them, what's happening in your body? And many times I say, where do you feel that in your body? And they look at me with, like, I have no idea. I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't even know how to figure out what I'm feeling in my body, you know, because they're so, and I know personally for me, my tendency is to be more intellectual. I kind of want to stay up in my head. It's kind of cleaner to me. It feels easier to me. And God is always wanting to work with me about, I need to be a holistic person. And I don't mean in the existential, you know, whatever way that Christians get scared of that word. I mean a whole person, that I'm not just a walking head. I'm not just a brain. You know, I have a soul and a spirit and a body that's wanting to take care of me and wanting to tell me what's going on with me. And it is hard. It's hard to listen because we've been taught not to listen in our society.
Right. And it affects our ministry in that
Absolutely.
We can only minister effectively to certain people if that's where we're gifted.
Right. So how do you think this, you know, one of the things that, so let me get back to the webinar because I really want people to understand how cool this webinar is going to be and what you have to offer and how exciting to have you, you know, that all three of us get to do this together because we all kind of have some of the same impetus, but we present it so differently. You know, you get to hear very different things in different ways about becoming this person that God has truly designed for you to be. And so I would imagine that this whole idea of how disease in our body, you know, that word dis-ease, you know, and what it does to our self-esteem, what it does to our feelings of self-worth, because that directly affects our lifestyle, the choices we make, our relationships, how well we manage our life. So how do you see that? How do you see disease manifesting in self-esteem?
Well, for example, when we've had trauma that affects a certain part of our body, so often we have anger there, we have shame there, a lot of guilt, and so that part of us can get sick and manifest even feelings that we haven't allowed, Like if we're not a feeling person, we can reject those feelings. And the feelings come out actually in a disease process. Or that disease process can move us into the emotions that, like the sadness and grief that we've been holding back all along. So now we're sad and grief because we have a terminal illness, for example. So life is moving us to become whole, to feel the physical feelings we haven't allowed, like if we were raped, for example, and we numb that part of our body, or beaten and we just don't feel our bodies anymore. So it's trying to get us to feel what we haven't allowed because of our trauma, blocking it out. It tries us to get us to feel those emotions, those deep-seated anger, sadness, guilt, shame, through the disease process, and to get us to look at some of our beliefs. Are we the ones that are all-powerful, or is it God? And so
exactly.
Often our disease process will get us to look at where our beliefs are. Do we run to a doctor immediately, or do we get on our hands and knees and say, Lord, where do I go? What do I do? Trusting he's the doctor, and he'll bring in the right doctors for us, and he'll guide us, but it has to be his plan and not ours.
It's always about relationship, isn't it?
Yes, relationship with every single part of us, physically, emotionally,
yes.
Mentally, and
with God,
the
and
people around us who often represent
right.
Those parts of us.
That's
so if I'm not allowing my anger, I bring in angry people. to help me to deal with my own
right.
anger.
Right. So when we think about feelings or unresolved things or trauma manifesting as disease, you know, some of that, I want to make sure I'm following this, you know, when we talk about somaticizing or somatic disorders, and some consider maybe fibromyalgia, some of the autoimmune is somatic disorders. Is that accurate that there's a, you know, that there's the firing of the nerve center that just keeps firing, and it, some of that being some unresolved feelings that's kind of attacking our own body. And I know that people have a hard
time.
That's
been my experience. Yeah.
Okay, mine as well. And it's hard for people to. It's a very difficult concept for them. And some of it's just pride. You know, they don't want to think their pain is well. It's not just a feeling. You know, I really am having real pain. And it's hard to get that paradigm shift for people to understand this is not a negative thing. This is not hypochondriasis. We're not saying you're a hypochondriac. There's a big, big difference.
Right.
This is for whatever reason, you've been shut down in your life when it comes to having a voice about how you feel. And so your body starts screaming for you. Does that sound accurate?
Yes, yes. And to me, it's actually empowering to know
yes.
that we can do something. Even though we fell off a roof, there's nothing changing that, and now we have a bad back. What does that represent? How are we falling in our lives? And that
wow.
we can do something about.
Wow.
So
that
if our fall
so
from
metaphorical.
10 years ago is unresolved, why? Because my experience is just as we have a choice to, I don't have to carry this anger against my father for the rest of my life. I can work it through. We don't have to carry whatever is going on physically from our accidents, injuries, car accidents, whatever the tests show, we can still work it through emotionally, mentally, spiritually. And in my experience, the physical will fall in line.
Right, exactly. See, I think that is so powerful because, you know, Western medicine was the biggest miracle when it originally started, you know, which caused us to be the leader of the world. The discoveries that we made and the abilities that we have, you know, especially when it comes to orthopedics and when it comes to, you know, all these different, you know, things that we can do to correct and, you know, correct deformities and all kinds of things. But we somehow got lost in the actual healing process of understanding the body and the relationship you have with your body to really assist it in healing itself. And we lost that whole big chunk. And now we have this big evacuation from Western medicine, right? You know, people are like
right.
throwing out the baby with the bathwater, you know? And they're either doing that or they're too afraid to embrace any of the more holistic medicines. And so if you could just speak a little bit about that, because you kind of have some experience with that, I would say.
Well, my experience, what you said about, well, what I heard is that we put the body as at the top, meaning that we know our bodies, it's tangible. We put that on the top, that what the physical shows us is the be-all and end-all, when really the physical is affected by the emotional, which is affected by the mental, which is affected by the spiritual. The spiritual's in the end-all position. That's authority. And once we know
yes.
that God has the authority, it doesn't matter what we've been through physically. Does not matter, which is what Jesus showed. Even someone who couldn't walk from birth, no big
exactly.
deal. And when
right.
we really get God's authority, it's not the pills we're taking. It's not the chemotherapy. It's God working through all these things in our world. That is the power source. And in that, anything can heal us in His hand.
See, I think that's what's so powerful is when I'm talking to clients about thought processes and thinking styles, and I always say to them, you know, life is gray. For humans, it's all gray. Now, I don't ever say that morality is a gray issue. But God is really the only one that has a handle on the very end, the all white, the all black. And in between that, you know, it's really learning to hear from God so that you get the appropriate direction because, you know, it's gray. There's a lot of ways it could go, and we get so maybe controlling or so afraid or we're so hurt, we're so in pain that we want to do the either-or thing. And what you're saying is very fascinating. It's like, right. it's not the chemotherapy that's working. It's God in the chemotherapy. And He may not choose to do chemotherapy for everybody. But it's going to the spiritual level
right.
where you're really saying, God, you're the healer. You should be the case manager. You should be the one managing
exactly.
the case. Yes.
And to realize that it's not about us getting over this particular disease right now, which is
yes.
our agenda to be comfortable. But He is looking at us surrendering to Him and becoming whole as He created us to be and fulfilling our God-given destiny. And if this disease process motivates us to do everything
right.
we can to become who we're born to be, then it's necessary. And we can't judge that. Oh, God's not healing me. Oh, yes, He is. But He knows better. He knows what we need.
Because it is a trust issue always.
Yeah.
Which
and
is
trusting
tough.
Him more than us.
Right. And it's hard, you know, and it's hard, and or trusting other people before we want to trust God, you know, or trusting, you know, our own bodies, or then we don't trust our own bodies, right? And so we ignore our bodies, or we beat our bodies up, or we dismiss our body, or, you know, whatever it is. It really comes down to everything happening to us in our life is an attempt to get us to God, however that works.
Yes.
And you know, it's just that we all get there on a different path. But I think you have some really powerful insights and certainly experience about this idea that well, I think you know I was talking on a different show about just the all or nothing way that certainly Americans live, and the pace that technology has created for us. And there's this great book called The 3-Mile-an-Hour God. And it's really about this man talking about Jesus walked everywhere, and that was his pace, about 3 miles an hour. That's about how fast humans just walk. And so the pace
wow.
we have with technology is like not even human, you know, and we forget that, yeah, intellectually I might be able to think even faster than technology, but the rest of me doesn't ever work that fast, ever. And it's what you're describing is it's really this slowing down. It's like landing, listening, and listening requires that you land.
Yeah. Because ultimately we discover God Himself is talking through every moment of our lives,
exactly.
through every disease process, through every relationship difficulty, through whatever is happening, He's there guiding us to our fullness. Our potential in Him.
It's very powerful. And, you know, we only have about 5 minutes left. And so I really wanted the listeners to meet you and to see a lot of what this webinar is having and what, you know, it certainly is a lot deeper than what you and I are doing on this show. But if you could just kind of give the listeners an idea of what they have to look forward to on February 28th and what you're kind of focusing on?
Yes, I'm going to be talking about how we get diverted to knowing our worth in God. How does the world take us away from that so we can be aware of it and in that awareness step aside and go back to what we know, that God created us and he created us valuable. So we'll be getting into the nitty-gritty, and I'll be asking questions for viewers to really take some of these principles home and work with them.
I think that is tantamount for humans, because, you know, all of everything we do is we're always trying to feel valuable, like we're worth something and that somebody wants us and that we mean something, that we matter. And it's so sad that somehow that truth has not transcended into the fallen world. And so instead of just that being a given, like it's a given that, you know, I'm 53 years old, that's a given, 52 actually, you know, it's like that's not going to be changing. It's a given. I don't have to, like, get reinforcement from everybody to prove to me how old I am, right? And so it's a given. It's a given that I'm female. I don't have to have people tell me every day, now don't forget, you're a female. You're a female. I see you being a female. You look like a female. I don't need people every day to be telling me these facts. And so what's sad is that the enemy has come in and he has made a fact something that is up for debate. And so here we are, this society and people from the, you know, since Adam and Eve, trying to fight for our worth, prove our worth, try to achieve our worth, you know, get worth, when God is saying, what more do I have to do to show you how worthwhile you are? I died for you. I want to spend the rest of my life, the rest of eternity with you. I mean, and I say to people, I don't even know if I want to be with myself for eternity. You know? It's like, and God is saying, that's how much I value you, how much I like you, how much I love you. I want to be with you forever. I don't ever want to be separate. I mean, that's phenomenal. So here we are, though, in this fallen state, where these concepts are too lofty for us to, we can't feel them. So I like what you're doing, because a lot of what you're doing is helping us to integrate it, to actually feel it and make it become a fact. It's a foundational piece. It's not something that every day we wake up and we hope we have.
Yeah, and it's the pain of this low self-esteem that's behind so many of our societal problems, acting out upon each other and in destructive ways, and acting in, hurting ourselves, getting sick. And we don't care about ourselves like we should, so we eat poorly, avoid exercise, and don't relax and rest enough. And research even shows that low self-esteem can negatively impact our immune system and increase the inflammation in our body, both of which are linked to heart disease, one of the major killers, right? So in contrast, high self-esteem correlates with stress reduction, health, and long life.
Well, see, I think that's so important, because the level of inflammatory diseases are off the charts in America.
Yes.
Off the charts. It's like this brand new thing in the last 20 years. It's like everybody is struggling with all this inflammation, all fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, you know, Epstein-Barr, lupus, all these.
People are inflamed, they're angry, right?
Yes, exactly. And you know what? I know that people, if we don't handle that well, they feel shame when we say that. It's shaming to them in many ways. And it's like, no, it's you have not ever been allowed to voice your anger. You've never been allowed to talk about it and have someone care about it, listen to it, understand it, you know. So, well, you know, we could go on and on, Anne. I always enjoy so much talking to you. So we're at the end of our show, and I just am so thankful that you were on the show today. And I really want to encourage your listeners, February 28th, really exciting. If you are not on the email list, you can contact me through the website at cynthiahyatt.com, and I will make sure that you get the information about the webinar. And Anne, please tell people what your website is so they can contact you.
It is the Awakening Storm, theawakeningstorm.vpweb, as in Victor Peter Webb, .com.
Thank you. I wanted to make sure you said it, because I botched it so badly on the last show I did with 6Q. So I want to make sure you were able to say it for them. So thank you for joining us, and God bless your week. And we look forward to February 29th and spending time.
Thank you so much, Cynthia.